All right, Rabbi said, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin 70. We are just going to pick up with the last couple of lines. And Sanech Tesma, day 69b, Ibayis Ema. So we left off 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, the Gemara was discussing the idea of Rabbi Lazar's statement, Rabbi Yossi's statement, of Gedola Chazaka. See how great Chazaka is, because the Gemara was discussing the idea that although the Kohanim who came back with Ezra, Ezra required each of them to produce a family tree to show that they were indeed genealogically fit to be able to participate in the Avodah. So without being able to produce that proper documentation, so again, they were unable to participate in sacrificial service, but they were permitted to continue to go ahead and consume truma, because that was the chazaka they had in Babel. So that was the chazaka that continued through an Eretz Yisrael as well. The other possibility is li'olam hashdamid v'drabanan achol. So the second possibility says that even when they got to Eretz Yisrael, they were only able to eat truma drabanan like they were able to eat in Babel. But however, they weren't able to eat truma daraisa. And when, remember, the Gemara yesterday raised the concern that if we let them eat truma, though people will come to extrapolate from that, that they are meyuchas, that they are ultimately genealogically fit kohanim. So the Gemara says, when do we do that? That's only midaraisa, midrabanon lo maskinon. Well, so that's only if somebody is consuming truma derabanan. But if someone is only consuming But if someone is only consuming truma derabanan, we do not make the leap from truma to yochsin. If that's the case, then what was Rabbi Yossi's statement when he says, "See how great chazaka is"? To neikara leka lemigzar mishum truma daraisa lebasof afagav deika lemigzar mishum truma daraisa b'derabanan achol b'derasi leachol. So the gedola chazaka Rabosa is that even though again in Babel when they were eating truma derabanan there was no chashash that they would come to eat truma daraisa, but now even when they come to Babel, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, and now there's the possibility that if we let them eat truma derabanan they will go ahead and come to eat truma daraisa, but yet we're not gozer that and we still allow them to go ahead and eat truma derabanan, not daraisa. So you see from here, Gidola Chazaka. So the Gemara says, "I've aksiv ayom at Yeshal Salahem, asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakadoshim, mikodesh hakadoshim dulo yochal, hakomidi necho." But yet, when you look at what Hatyoshasa, what Nehemiah said to them, so Nehemiah said to these Kohanim who could not prove their genealogical fitness, you may not eat from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, we'll say Kodesh HaKadoshim, we assume, refers to what? Karbanos. So it sounds like Nehemiah is telling them you can't eat Karbanos, but you can go ahead and eat from other items like Truma. So the Gemara says, Lo midi dimikri Kodesh, Lo midi dimikri Kodesh Kadoshim. The reality is Nehemiah was telling them you can't eat that which is called Kodesh, and you can't eat that which is called Kodesh Kadoshim. What does that refer to? Lo midi dimikri Kodesh, Techsev Kholzar Lo Yochal Kodesh. You can't eat that which is called Kodesh, because as the pasuk says, any non-kohen can't eat Kodesh. So that's a reference to Truma. V'chol midi dimikri Kodeshim. Furthermore, you can't eat anything that's called Kodeshim. What does that refer to? Damakra Ubas Kohen Kisiya Ishzar. He betrumas hakadoshim lo sochal. So we'll say so the kodshim refers ultimately to karbonos. Va'omer mar, and we said the mar said b'murim min hakadoshim lo sochal, that she may not, if a bas kohen marries Yisrael, she may not eat any sacrificial parts. She may not eat any sacrificial parts from an animal. So you see from here that Nehemiah was telling them you can neither eat kodesh nor kodesh kadoshim. You can't eat kodesh, which refers to truma daraisa. You can still continue to eat your dirabanos, but you can't eat truma daraisa. And furthermore, again, you can't eat any sacrificial karbanos as well. Says the Gemara, top of Ayin Rabbah, says two dots. Geri v'charuris. Remember again, the next category of people who came in were the gerim, the converts, and the charur, the emancipated slaves. Says the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah said, an emancipated slave, an eved Kenani, who's emancipated, is essentially a ger. They're essentially the same category, just they arrive at the same point a bit differently. So, Minalan, how do we know that they came back with Ezra? So, because the pasuk says that among those who came with Nehemiah were those who separated themselves from the impurities of the nations of the land. So it refers to those ultimately again who left their idolatry to go ahead and join Nehemiah. That refers to the Geri Haruri, Mamzeri. How do we know that Mamzerim came along with Ezra as well? So it says, Vayishma Sanballat Tacharani Vitobia Ha'eved Ha'amoni. So we'll say, so now the Gemara is quoting from the Pasuk in Nehemiah again. So Sanballat the Chorani and Tovia the Eved Ha'amoni. So Tovia the slave. So Vigeshem Ha'arvi. These are all people. So the Navi identifies these per people, and it says, "Kirabim biYehuda Baali Shvua Lo." There are many men in Yehuda who are Baali Shvua. Many men in Yehuda who were allies of this individual by the name of Tovia Ha'Eved Ha'Amoni. Ki Chasan Hu LeShechenya Ben Arach. Because he was a son-in-law to Shechenya ben Arach, v'Yohanan b'no, lakach es bas Meshulam ben Berachia. And his son, Yohanan, married the daughter of Meshulam ben Berachia. Kasavar, ovei kochav. So we'll say, so this guy, Tovia ha'eved, so Tovia is an emancipated slave, and ultimately says, the Gemara, the mandam of the Mishnah, the opinion of the Mishnah holds, Kasavar, Ovid Kochavim the Eved Haba Bas Yisrael Avlad Mamzer. So Tovia was an Eved. He had a child with a Jewish woman. So ultimately, again, that child, the Tana of this Mishnah holds that the offspring of that union are Mamzerim. And therefore, again, you see that Mamzerim came up with Ezra. So says the Gemara, one second. Hani Chalaman Damra Havlad Mamzer. So first of all, that's fine according to the opinion that says that if an Eved fathers a child with a Jewish woman, the child is a Mamzer. But as we know, not everybody subscribes to that. Elaman Damra Havlad Kasher Maikele Mimar. So according to Tosei, so again, the Gemara's Raya essentially is that there's this guy by the name of Tovia Eved. He's an Eved. Yet, he married a Jewish woman. And it appears that they came back with Ezra. So the Gemara says, so from here you see, so his offspring would have been Mamzerim. So here you see that Mamzerim came back with Ezra. Says the Gemara, one second. First of all, that's presupposing that the Mishnah reflects the view that the offspring of an Eved and a Jewish woman are Mamzerim. That's number one. But there's another opinion, which is the accepted opinion, that the children, the offspring, are kosher. That's issue number one. V'su mimayda havalu b'ni. Domavo havalu b'ni. So we'll say, furthermore, again, the Pasuk says nothing about Tovia having children. It says about Tovia getting married, but nothing about having children. Who says he had children? V'su mimayda hacha havalu b'salik. Furthermore, again, how do you know that even if he had children, how do you know he fathered these children above when they came to Eretz Yisrael? Maybe he fathered the children in Eretz Yisrael itself. Ella, so therefore, again, this is not a good raya. So also, so how do we know that the Mamzerim came up from Bavel? Ella mehacha, the Eila ha'olim mitel melech, tel charsha, keruv adon. Velo yochlu lahagid beis avosam v'Yisrael, v'zaram, im mi Yisraelim. So what's that? Because the Pasuk says that there are these group of people who came from Tel Melach, and these name of places, and Tel Charsha, Kiruv Adon, and they were unable to go ahead and speak to the kashrus of their lineage. Says the Gemara, these places are not just simply the names of places, but rather descriptive as well. Tel Melach, who does Tel Melach refer to? Elu b'nei Adam, shedomim ma'asehem l'ma'ases dom. Tel Melech also refers to people whose actions resembled the actions of stone. Shenepcha l'tel Melech. Remember again, tel is a pile, right, or is a hill. So stone was turned into a salt pile. So Rabbi will say, look at the last line in Rashi. I'm sorry, last Y line in Rashi in top. L'maisa stone. So what does that mean? Shahiyu megali arayos. Dechsev roim v'chatoim roim v'gufon v'chatoim v'onav amirim v'chelek. D'machi l'isisa d'chavrei u'mapila. Supposedly, this is actually wild. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses the idea, you know, Midas stone is a warped sense of justice. Meaning, I will say, it's an incredible use. So in general, people can't really live with inconsistencies. So instead, what we do in order to avoid living with inconsistencies, what do we do? We justify. How do we justify? We remake our own systems. We'll see, in order, if Hirsch says this by the ego. If Hirsch says, why did Klal Yisrael build the ego? Think about this in just a moment. So counterintuitive. They just heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. They saw the Ribbono Shel Olam. So how can you go and build a golden calf? So Hirsch is very simple. Because what did the people want? The people wanted arayos. The people wanted freedom with their morality. They wanted to be able to do whatever they want. The problem is that if they exercised immorality, they would be on the wrong side of the law. So what did they do? They created for themselves a new construct. There's a new religion. It's called idolatry. It's called eagle. It's called, right? And I'm gonna be a disciple of the eagle. And here's the wonderful part. In the laws of the eagle, you're permitted to do X, Y, and D. So I'm not living outside the confines of the law. I'm just living within a different system. Rav Hirsch says something amazing. He says, the yisod is that in Yiddishkeit, our job is to make ourselves in God's image. Idolatry is making God in your image. So I decide what I want, and then I create a system all around that. As opposed to saying, there's the Ribono Shalom system, and I think myself, and Rav Hirsch says something amazing. Rav Hirsch says, in this respect, we are idol worshippers all the time. That's Rav Hirsch. Why? It's because so often in life, there are things I want to do. I want to do it. I know that it's really not right, but I want to do it. So what I'll do is I'll create my own sub-framework within Yiddishkeit. And we'll say, this is, of course, where people come up with all these different titles, right? All these different classifications. I'm this, I'm center, I'm right of center, I'm left of center, I'm new age, I'm old age, I'm classic, I'm neo, I'm modern, I'm sioni, I'm chadal, I'm this. Plus, you understand, all of that silliness, there's only one classification, and that's Jewish. And it doesn't matter, whatever you choose to observe or not observe, that's your own business, you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's one system, there's one Shulchan Aruch, there's one Halacha, whatever kulos are there, whatever chumros are there, and that's all there is. Anything else is just simply an attempt to justify what I know is perhaps not the best behaviors. So in Sdom, I'm sorry, that was a long-winded explanation of Rashi. So it's, listen to this, in Sdom the Halacha was that if you injured a pregnant woman, and she miscarried, this is wild, the halacha in Sdom was, you had to take that woman home with you, someone else's wife, take the woman home with you, and you had to impregnate her. And you couldn't return her to her husband until she became pregnant. So both say, so what is that? That is a warped sense of hashava saveda. Right? So again, there's a halacha, right? Somebody loses something, I have to return it to them. Or I cause damages to someone, I have to make them whole. So when Sdom said, where are you from? The guy made this other guy, he diminished, right? He took away the baby. Okay, you have to restore the wife with the baby. So that's Sdom. So we'll say, so the Gemara says that the people in Tel Melach came up with Ezra. So Tel Melach, we'll say, refers to people whose actions were Sdom-like. They were Sdom-like. So what does that mean? They were immorality, which means they were mamzerim. So this is the right that the mamzerim came up with Ezra. Tel Harsha. So we'll say, what does it mean, Tel Harsha? Zeshekore Abba v'imam shasko. So we'll say, that's the case, that's the shtuki case. Tel Harsha from Lashon HaBcherish. In that place, children would look at their men and they would say, daddy, daddy, daddy. And the mothers would say, shh, shh. Because again, the paternity of the children were unknown. So it says the Gemara, they were unable to say, to ascertain if their paternity was from Klal Yisrael. That refers ultimately again to those children who were abandoned in the marketplace and were taken in by other parents, were unable to go ahead and say their origins. Kruv Adon, this is a beautiful, magnificent line. Kruv Adon, so Kruv Adon sounds like the name of another place, but says the Gemara va'amar. Amar Rabbi Avau, Amar Adon, Ani Amarti Yihu Yisrael Lefane Chashuvim Kekarov. So Kekrov, so listen to this, I'll say, so Rabbi Avau understands that Adon, Kruv Adon, ultimately again is a message or is a metaphor. Kruv Adon means Kruv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I wanted Klal Yisrael to be as holy as a Kruv. Kruv, I will say, is an angel. I want the Chazal to be as holy as the angels. V'heim samu atzmam kinamer. And instead, they went ahead and made themselves as base as the leopard. Apparently, the leopard mates with everyone. Right? So meaning with all leopards, whether those leopards are attached to a mate or not. So the Adon said, Adon Kruv, the Adon said, we should be like angels. We made ourselves like the leopard. Ika da Amri, Amr Rabbi Avo, listen to how beautiful this line is. Amr Adon, the Ribbono Shalom said, Afa pi sheshamu atzmam kinamer, sheshamu atzmam kinamer, even though Klal Yisrael made themselves like a leopard, all debased and immoral, him chashuvin lafanai kikruv. In my eyes, they're as beautiful and as special as angels. So both say, that's the love of a parent. That's the love of the Ribbono Shalom. Even though we debase ourselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm upset, I'm disappointed, but I love you no less. An incredible idea. Any man who marries a woman who is not fit for him. Now, what does this mean? So this refers, in this context, Ultimately, what this means is Psrash is Psulalo. He marries a Pasul, meaning he marries someone whom he genealogically should not. So the Gemara says, Ma'ala Kosav Kilu Kharshalakala Olam Kulo Bizarro Melech. What's his strong wording? It says it's Kosh Baruch Hu counted as if he plowed the entire world and sowed the soil with salt. Well, say, so you know what happens if you sow soil with salt? Ultimately, the land cannot produce. So we'll say the idea over here is that the whole point of building a bayis, the whole point of building a home, is to perpetuate kedusha. A person who marries someone who is not supposed to, doesn't perpetuate kedusha, ultimately undermines, the metaphor is, you're supposed to, so a marriage, a home is supposed to be fertile soil. A person marries someone who they're not supposed to. At the end of the day, they undermine the fertility of that soil. Shneimar ve'ila olim mitel melech tel charsha. Amarav arachana amarav kolanos isha losh l'shum mamon. This is also amazing. Gemara. Anyone who marries a woman for money, habyun lo banim she'in la mihuganim, has children ultimately again who are not mihuganim, who are not upright. So I often thought, you know, this is not a punishment. This is a repercussion. Meaning, it says something about a person who marries a woman for money, right? That says something about an individual, about his character. So those character traits, ultimately, says the Gemara, will come up in how you raise your children as well. So if a person marries for the purpose of money, they're placing a certain emphasis on materialism, and ultimately, again, that'll come out in their children. Shne'emar, Bahashem Bagadu, Kibonim Zorim Yoldu. They rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu because literally they birthed alien sons. The Shema Tomar. So what's they said? The rest of that pasuk speaks about, and we'll see in just a moment, Ata Yochlim Chodesh as Chelkehem. All the wealth they accumulated will be diminished or will be taken away. So the idea of the Gemara's understanding is talking about people who married for wealth. So the Gemara says, Vishama Tomar, Mamam Palat. So maybe you'll say, well, even if your kids don't turn out that great, at least you'll have money. Says the Gemara, Talmud Lomar, Ata Yochlim Chodesh as Chelkehem. Within a month, all of the money is gone. Vishama Tomar, Chelko, Velo Chelka. So maybe you'll say, ultimately, again, that'll just be his part, but not her part. Talmud Lomar, Chelkehem. Vishama Tomar, Lizman Meruba. Maybe you'll say, oh, but it'll take a while for the money, ultimately, to be depleted. Talmud Lomar, Chodesh, in a month. Mai Mashma, Amar Adnach, Mar Yitzchak, Chodesh Nichnas, the Chodesh Yotze, Umamonam Avon. A month comes in, a month goes out, and the money is gone. Well, so in other words, that when you marry for the wrong purposes of money, the children don't turn out well, and guess what? The money is gone as well. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Arachan, Vosei Suran, Ayin Amud Aleph, pretty much like the middle of the page. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Bar Rav Ad, Amar Rav Sala, Amar Rav Hanuna, we'll say any man who marries a woman who is not fit for him. So again, remember, this refers ultimately to a psul in yichus. Says the Gemara, and listen to this. Eliyahu kofso, Eliyahu ties him up, v'akadosh baruch hu rotso, and the ribono shel olam administers lashes. All right. V'tana, al kulam Eliyahu kosev, v'akadosh baruch hu chosem. And about all of these unfit marriages, says the Gemara, Elio writes down, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs, and what does the text say? Oy lo leposel es zaro, ulepogin es mishpachto, ulenose isha she'en hogen es lo. Woe to the one who invalidates his offspring, who is pogim his mishpacha, and marries one who is not fit for him. Elio kofso, v'akadosh baruch hu rotso. Elio hanavi, Elio ties him up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and administers lashes. So we'll say, so actually Rashi points out of it, it's just an interesting piece. If you look at the Rashi, Eliyahu Kosev, so Rashi says, if you skip to the parentheses, Rashi says, Hai Eliyahu, Lav Eliyahu Dichsev B'mikra. This is not Eliyahu Hanavi. This is not Eliyahu Hanavi. Dim came, Mikamei Dahava Asi Man Kafsei. Because we'll say, if that's the case, because before Eliyahu Hanavi, who was tying people up, who married women who were not appropriate for them? Ella shem malachu shusofer lemalo. Rather, I will say in this context, it's interesting. Elio refers to one of the angels, specifically one of the angels who is a scribe in the celestial sphere. Okay, so we'll say. So now the Gemara will say we're about to get into an amazing sugya. Bechol posel posel. I will say anyone who goes ahead and constantly is invalidating others himself is posel. Look at Rashi. Kol posel megadef tamid es hamishpachos. Who atzmo posel? Rabbi said, anyone who is always cursing others and denigrating others, he himself is posel. Ve'inu madaber b'shivcha liolam in darko shal posel daber b'shevach habriyos olam. So Rabbi says, I'm sorry, let's go back to the Gemara. So v'chala posel posel. Anyone who is constantly invalidating others, telling you're a mamzer, you're this, you're an eved, you're this, is posel himself. And anyone Rabbi said, furthermore, inu madaber b'shivcha liolam. Rabbi says, very profound. There are some people who are never able to say anything nice about any other person, that is a sign that a person is pasul. We'll say what the Gemara is saying is something amazing. In other words, projection. If a person is so bitter, and a person is so angry, and a person only sees the negative in everyone else, then that is indicative of some fundamental flaw within themselves. Says the Gemara, but Amar Shmuel, not only that, but Mumah Apostle. Shmuel says, not only that, but when a person constantly denigrates someone in a particular way. So the simple example is, Reuven calls every single person a mamzer. Now, both say, understand, when the Gemara uses that, so they don't, we're not using that colloquially, like you're a mamzer. You know, they're using it, actually, don't use that either, but they're using that ultimately, when somebody said that, they were literally casting aspersions on the lineage of someone. So Shmuel would say, anyone who passels everyone else in a particular way, that's indicative, that's what? They have that very psalm. So listen to this story. So the Gemara says, there was a guy who lived in Arda, went to the butcher in Pompadisa. So the guy walks up to the counter and he says, give me meat. He says to the butcher, I want to order some meat. Some say, no problem. But listen, the attendant, the servant of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel is here to purchase some meat for his master, for Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. Let me just finish dealing with him, and then I'll be with you next. Amar, so the guy says, Man Yehuda ben Shviskel. Who is this guy, Yehuda ben Shviskel? So we'll say he mocked Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel. Now, Shviskel happens to also mean a glutton. So he said, who is this guy, Yehuda ben Shviskel, right, who needs so much meat? The kadimli, the shakel min kamai. And why should his order come before mine? So, okay, so you can imagine this created quite a scene in the butcher shop in Pumbedisa. So azlu amrilei Rabbi Yehuda. So they came back, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, what happened? Rabbi say shamte. And Rabbi Yehuda excommunicated him. Rashi says, why did Rabbi Yehuda excommunicate the guy, shamte? Ki de'ashkechon deminadim l'kavod harav. Rabbi said, there's a halacha that says that if somebody disparages a rav, somebody disparages a talmid chacham, one is permitted to excommunicate. There might be a desire sometimes, but to excommunicate such an individual. Rabbi said, understand, it sounds severe, but understand the kavod that's given to a talmid chacham is kavod haTorah. As soon as there are liberties that are taken with kavod haTorah, that creates, that erodes the foundation of kavod for Torah, kavod for the Ribono Shel Olam as well. So Rabbi Yehuda excommunicates this guy. Actually, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel excommunicates this guy. So the Gemara says, what happens? Shamte, Amru, Rogil to Kari Inish Abdi. They furthermore told Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel, this guy in the butcher shop, he always calls people Avadim. He's always disparaging people by calling them Avadim. Achris Alei Da Avdu. Rabbi Yehuda made an announcement telling everyone that this individual is genealogically unfit. He is an Evet. He's an Evet. So the Gemara says, okay, Azalahu Azdani Ladine Kamed Rav Nachman. I want to just point out, you notice, by the way, what's interesting about this story, the individual remains unnamed. Right? The individual remains unnamed. So we'll say, you see this very often in the Gemara, when you have people who do really bad stuff, the Gemara sometimes chooses not to tell us their name. Of course, the paradigmatic example of this is the Balabas in the Bar Kamsa story. Right, that's always interesting, right? The Balabas, who ultimately, again, made the mistake in the invitations, he's never named, interestingly enough. So Tobia, the guy's never named. So what happens? This guy now hears that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel has, number one, just put him in Cherem. Fine, that he could deal with. But number two, that he's declared him an Eved is quite unbearable. Therefore, what does he do? He summons Rabbi Yehuda to a Din Torah. He calls him to Beis Din in front of Rav Nachman. There was saying, are you going to see the tension? Well, okay, in front of Rav Nachman. I see Piska Dazmana. So what happens? So Rav Yehuda gets the Hazmana. So he gets the summons from Beis Din. So also Rav Yehuda le kamei de Rav Huna. So Rav Yehuda went to Rav Huna. And he said, Amarle, Ezel or lo Ezel? He said to Rav Huna, should I go or not go? Now, both saying, now the issue over here is, Rav Yehuda was one of the ranking sages, much greater than Rav Nachman. So now he's getting a hazmana to the basin of Rav Nachman. So Rav Yehuda comes and asks Rav Huna, do I have to go? Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Do I have to go or not? So the Gemara says, Amarle, Mezel lo mi baylach, le mezel, mishum digara rabat. So Rav Huna said, on one hand, Rav Yehuda, you don't have to go. Why? Because you are a much greater Talmud Chacham than Rav Nachman, and it's not Kavod HaTorah for you to be summoned to the basin of Rav Nachman. We'll say, again, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel is not above the law, but Lamaisa, if he's going to be summoned to a basin, he should be summoned onto a basin that reflects his status. So on one hand, technically, you don't have to go to Basin because you're a great man. Elam Yishum Yikar De Benesia Kumzil. But we'll say, here's what's interesting. Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa, of the head of the Babylonian community. So Rav Huna said, you know what, it's probably a good idea to go. Right? So Rabbi Huda, technically, on a technical level, you don't have to answer the Hazmana, but because Rav Nachman is the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa, you absolutely should go. So kum zil, go. Also, Ashkechei deka'avid Maika. So what happened? So Rabbi Huda Bar Yecheskel shows up at Rav Nachman's house, and what does he see? He sees that Rav Nachman is constructing a fence. So what happens? So Amarle lo saver lamar lahad amar Rav Huna bar Idi. So Rav Yehuda says to Rav Nachman, so does the master not subscribe to that which Rav Huna bar Idi said? Amar Shmuel, kevan shenismana adam parnei salatzibor. But say once a person has been appointed to a position of leadership, aser ba'asias melacha b'fnei shlosha. A person should not do any kind of labor, in manual labor, in front of three people. So I said, the idea over here is when a person's been appointed to a position of leadership, they're obligated to comport themselves in a certain derech of kavod, to conduct themselves in a certain level of kavod, and therefore to go ahead and engage in any type of physical labor in the presence of three people is simply inappropriate. And here you are, you're outside going in and fixing the fence. So Amarle Purta Dugundarisa. So Nachman says, it's not a big deal, I'm just repairing a little piece of the fence. Well, it's interesting, the Marashah comments on this. He says that Rav Nachman was actually building a ma'akeh. He was building a fence around the top of his roof, which is a mitzvah. So Rav Nachman held that it could be that for the performance of a mitzvah, one is permitted to do manual labor as well. So the Gemara says, Amrlei, so Rav Yehuda responded, Misanya ma'akeh dechsev ba'oraisa, o mechitza dam rabbanon. Why do you call a fence gunderisa, which was like Babylonian slang? Do you have a problem using the word that the Torah uses, ma'akeh? Or do you have a problem using the rabbinic word for offense, namely a mechitza, who's giving him mussar? Amrlei, yasiv mar akar fita. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, would the master like to sit down, karfita, will say, is a bench? Amrlei, to which Rav Yehuda responded, umisani safsalam rabbanon, o itztava damri inshi. Why do you use the word akar fita? What's wrong with using the rabbinic word safsal, or the word itztava, which people use? Amrlei lecho mar esronga. So I'll say, so Rav Nachman is really trying. Rav Nachman says, Rav Yehuda, can I offer you a little bit of esrog to eat? Amrlei haki amr Shmuel. This is what Shmuel said, Kala Omer Esronga Til Sabarama. So both say Esronga, which is an elongation of that last syllable, is a sign of arrogance. So whoever speaks like that ultimately, again, has an element of arrogance attached to him. So the Gemara says, Oh Esrog, Kidukar Yua, either call it a Esrog, okay, as rabbis call it, Oh Esroga, Dami Inshi. Amalei, Lishti Man an Baga, would master, Nachman's trying to be hospitable, right? Would the master like some Anbaga? Amarle misani espargos the kari abana. Why do you call it ambaga? What's wrong with calling it espargos like the rabbis call it, or inpak as the way people call it? Amarle tasi donog tashkinon. We said tashkinon. I'm going to invite my daughter Donog to go ahead and serve us something to drink. Amarle, to which Rabbi Huda responded, Hachi Mashmuel, ein mishtamshin biisha. You're not allowed to use a woman, meaning it's not appropriate for a woman to serve a man whom she does not know. Therefore, again, no, you can't have your daughter come and serve me. So Rav Nachman said, don't worry, kitanahi, she's still a child. So to which Rabbi Huda responded, Beferush Amar Shmuel, ein mishtamshin biisha klal, ben gedola ben kitana. You shouldn't have a woman, be it she adult or a minor, serve other men in order that she maintain a certain level of tznius, whether she's adult, whether she's a minor. So okay, so Rav Nachman will say, see, I mean, what's happening over here is Rabbi Huda is trying to, in a very nuanced way, or not so nuanced way, says Rav Nachman, how dare you summon me to your Beis Din? Right? Meaning, you want, if I'm going to be called to a Din Torah, that's fine, but there's a way, there's a system, there's a way that things work. So it says the Gemara, Nishtarli Mar L'Shamalo Yalsa, so would the master like to send Shalom to my wife Yalsa, right? So we'll say, so Yalsa was the wife of Rav Nachman. So would you? So he said, apparently they knew each other. So Rav Yehuda, would you like to send Shalom to my wife Yalsa? Amrlei Hachi Amr Shmuel, Kol B'Isha Erva. No, because if I say hello to her, she may respond back to me, and that'll be Kol Isha. Now we'll say, now understand, well, if we have time, we'll discuss this a little bit about what the nature, we're familiar, there's a halacha of Kol Isha. The halacha of Kol Isha says as the Shulchan Aruch points out, that you are not allowed to hear a woman sing. This refers dafka to adult women. These are not women who are related to you. But you're not allowed to hear a woman who's in, essentially anyone who's an erva to you. You are not permitted to hear them sing. But again, the notion that Rabbi Yehuda also held that this applied to speaking is something interesting, which we're not going to get into now. So nevertheless, no. So I'm like, Efshai Yedei Shaliach. So again, it's okay, Rabbi Yehuda, I'll send your shalom through an agent, through an emissary, through a shaliach. Amar lehachi, Amar Shmuel, this is what Shmuel said, Amar Beis, Ein Sholim B'Shlom Isha. One in general should not inquire about the welfare of someone else's wife. So I'll say, this in general is a yisod that's brought down in the Gemara, that one should always be careful about how one speaks about the wife of another. Top line of Ayin Amud Beis, Ayidei Baila, it's okay, as you're sending the regards through me, through her husband, Amar Lehachi, Amar Shmuel, Ein Shalin B'Shlom Isha Klal. Sometimes, in order to avoid any type of impropriety, it is better to go ahead and not inquire about the welfare of someone else's wife at all. So listen to what's happening over here. So remember, this entire exchange is happening. Who's in the other room? Rav Nachman's wife. Rav Nachman's wife, Yalsa. Amar Leif, so she pulls him aside, she says to him, so Shalchu Le Divisu, so Yalsa sent a message to Rav Nachman, Shari Le Tagre, Delo Nishvach Kishar Amaretz. Send away this contrarian now, so he doesn't make you look like an Amaretz. So what Yalsa is saying is, listen, ask him what he wants, take care of what he needs, and send him on his way. I mean, this is ridiculous. First of all, it's quite beautiful that it's a wife, being concerned about the covet of her husband. It doesn't look nice already. Send him on his way. So Amalei, my shiate demar hacha. So Rabbi Nachman says, what does the master want? Like, what brings the master here? Obviously, it's not to drink, sit on my bench, ask about my wife or anything else. So why are you here? So Amarle, Taska de Hazman Usa Shadr Marabasroy. So he said, Rav Nachman, I received a summons to your Beis Din. Amarle, so Rav Nachman says, Hashta Shusa de Marlo Gamirna. So Rav Nachman says, I can't even speak the proper language of the master. Taska da hazmanus mishad alamar. Would it be possible that I sent a summons to the master? Rav Nachman says, I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't summon you to Beis Din. Apik diska da hazmanusa. Mibechadje. Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel takes out the summons from his pocket. The oxidant shows Rav Nachman. Amrlei. Hi Gavra. Vahai daska. Here's the man. Here's the summons. So we'll say what's interesting about this is, so whatever happened over here, it appears that Rav Nachman did not actually issue the summons. Someone issued the summons, maybe it was the litigant, whatever it was, but Rav Nachman says, I would not have summoned you to my Beis Din. In any event, Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel says, got it, but here's the summons and I'm here. Amar lehova asam alahacha l'shtay milay keichid lelemi mecham pirabana adadi. So Rav Nachman says, well, if that's the case, if there is a summons and you're already here, so let's hear your case. Because if I dismiss you without hearing the case, people will say that the rabbis afford preferential treatment to one another. So tell me the case. Amar lei. So Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel tells him the case. We're going to see. He's there also at the end of the story. Amar lei. My time is Shamdim Allahu Gabra. So to which Rav Nachman, so Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel tells the story, and Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, why did you excommunicate the guy for calling you Rav Yehuda bar Shaviskel? So Tzir Shlicha Darabana, ultimately because he mistreated the agent, the messenger of a rabbinic scholar. And Rabbos say again, you're held accountable not just for mistreating a Talmud Chacham, but also for mistreating the attendants of a Talmud Chacham. As it says Rav Nachman to Rav Yehuda, the Nagdeimar. So why don't you administer? Meaning, why did you excommunicate him? You could have given him lashes. The Rav mangid amanda mitzar shulchad rabbanon. Because I will say, Rav used to administer lashes for anyone who mistreated an agent of the rabbis. I will say, it happened often. Where did agents of the rabbis get mistreated? So this often happened. I will say by Beis Din. So Beis Din would send a hazmana to someone, right? Would send a summons to someone. The person didn't like getting hazmana to Beis Din. And what would happen? They would take it out. They would kill the messenger. I mean, not literally, but they would take it out on the messenger. So we'll say there are many other examples of that. But Rav used to give lashes for this. So why did you go ahead and excommunicate the guy? To which Rav Yehuda responds, the adif mine avdile. I felt the need to do even more. I felt the need ultimately again to administer an additional kanas for the brazenness of this individual and excommunicate him. Okay, my time achriz mar alei de avdu. Why did you decide, Rabbi Yehuda, to go ahead and announce that the guy is an eved? So amalei deragel de kari in shiavdi, because he goes around calling everyone an eved. And again, we have this idea, betani kala posa posel veinu adab shivcha liolam. Because ultimately, again, we learn that anyone who constantly invalidates everyone else and always speaks disparagingly about the world, somebody who constantly and consistently puts down and denigrates people in a particular way, he's denigrating them because he has that very mul. To which Rav Nachman says, okay, to which Rav Nachman responds, Rav Yehuda, is it possible that you misunderstood Shmuel's statement? When Shmuel said, "Bamumo posel," that if everyone, if Reuven is disparaging everyone by calling them an Eved, calling them a Mamzer, that's what? Reuven has that same psul. Shmuel wasn't literally saying that the guy is a Mamzer. What Shmuel is saying is what? You should be choshesh for that. You should look into his lineage because it's possible that he has that very mum. But was Shmuel actually saying that if somebody consistently calls someone else a mamzer, that you should call that that you should title that person as a mamzer as well? Adahaki bahaki. So we'll say, so interesting enough, so watch this. So in the middle of this conversation, so whatever the reason, they started the conversation earlier, the other litigant was there as well. So what happens? So the litigant, this was the guy who was excommunicated, the guy who harassed the shliach of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shemisko, Bar Yecheskel, in the butcher shop. And he comes, Amarle, Hahu Bar Dina Rabbi Yehuda, Lididi Karis Liyavis, we'll say, watch this. So the man is all outraged that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel announced that he's an Eved. So the guy says, you're calling me an Eved? Da'asina mibei chashmonai makut. Do you know who I am? I am a descendant of the Hasmonean dynasty. Not only am I not an Eved, right, but I descend from Kohanim and kings. Amarlei, so the Yehuda responded, that's interesting, because Amarlei haki amar Shmuel, kol darami the beis chashmonai ka'asina avduhu. By the way, you know that there is a ruling by Shmuel that says, anyone who claims to be of Hasmonean descent is an Eved. So we'll say, so remember, Rav Nachman is listening to this exchange between Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yecheskel and the litigant. So Rav Nachman says to Rabbi Yehuda, one second, Amar Lei, Lo Sava Lamar Lahada Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Kol Tam Tchacham Shemora Halacha Uba, Im Kol Demaisa Amra, Shomen Lo, there's a halachic principle that says the following. If a Talmud Chacham is espousing a particular principle, and then what? And then after he espouses the principle, or I should say, not espouses the principle, he's involved in a particular case. And then as he's involved in a particular case, he advances a principle that no one ever heard before, we don't believe him. Right? Why Rabbi Yehuda? Because it looks too convenient. Suddenly you remember this fact. In other words, they're having this entire discussion. And then what happens? No one ever heard, or at least Rav Nachman never heard this statement, that whoever says that I am a descendant from the Chashmonaim is a slave. Suddenly this guy says that I'm a descendant of the Chashmonaim. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's interesting because Shmuel said if you make that statement, you're in fact an Eved. Rav Nachman said, well, you're introducing new information that we've never heard before, and it seems to corroborate your statement, and it's convenient that it's coming up now. In other words, is there any other independent corroboration that Shmuel actually made this statement? Let's say, get ready for this. So Rav Yehuda said, yes, actually Rav Masna was with me on the day that Shmuel said this. But here was the issue. Rav Masna lo chazi le naharda tlesar shani. Let's say, remember, this is all taking place in Naharda. So Rav Masna had not visited Naharda in the last 13 years. He had been in Naharda in the last 13 years. Hahu yoma asa. And I will say, amazingly enough, on that day, Rav Masna was in Naharda and happened to walk by as they were adjudicating this dinto. So says Rav Yehuda, So Amar Lei, Dachir Mar, my Amar Shmuel, Ki Koi Chadekara Aguda, the Chadekara B'Mavra. So Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel says to Rav Masna, do you remember that teaching that Shmuel taught us that day when he was standing 1 foot on the bank of the river and one foot on the ferry? So we'll say, so first of all, this recall is a building. Oh, do you happen to remember that ruling? Because we'll remember he can't goad him. He can't lead him with information. Not goad him. He can't lead him with information. Right? I'm sorry?
Can't prompt him.
He can't prompt him. So he gives him his... Do you remember that? Remember that shear by the Shmuel gave us when he had 1 foot on the bank of the river, 1 foot on the ferry? Amar Lihach, he said, oh yeah, that was when Shmuel said, Amar Lihach, Amar Shmuel, called the Amar mi debes chashmonai malka kasina avduhu. Yeah, that was when Shmuel taught us that anyone who says that he's a descendant of the chashmonai is really what? Is really a slave. But said, now why is that? Listen to this story. We actually learned this. The Gemara says, "Delo ishtayir minayu ela hahi rebise." But say, we know the story that the Chashmonaim had a servant, a slave, by the name of Hurdus, by the name of Herod. One day, Herod heard a bas call that said, any slave that rebels against his master will be successful today. Herod killed out the entire Chashmonai family, killed out all of them, with the exception of one young Hasmonean daughter, whom he fell in love with, who he wanted to marry. So what happened? So he wiped out the entire family, Elahi Rabise, except for one girl. And what did she do? The Sakala Igravarami Kalava Amra, she went up to the rooftop and she said, I am the last remaining member of the Hasmonean family, called the Amr Mibes Chashmonai Ana. Just know from here on in, whoever says that they are a member of the Chashmonai family, Avdohu, is a slave. Nafla Meigra Umisa. Ultimately, again, she fell from the roof and she died. Achruz Alei Da'avdo. So, we'll say, listen to this. So, therefore, again, Rav Masna corroborated, so Rav Yehuda's ruling, or Rav Masna corroborated Shmuel's ruling, which bolstered Rav Yehuda's case. So, we'll say, amazingly enough, so the guy's claim himself now, in fact, validated that which Rav Yehuda said before, that indeed he was an Eved. Achruz Alei Da'avdo. That day in Arda, they went ahead and they announced with certainty. Now this was both. Now this was not just the statement of Rav Yehuda, but now it's coming from the Beis Din of Rav Nachman that in fact this individual was an Eved. So both say, when they say he's an Eved, it means that the family lines have psulim in them, and therefore, so what happened? Hahu Yoma Akaron Kamak Suvasa Benarda. Both say that day there were a lot of ksuvas torn up in Narda. As well say, on that day, ultimately again, so all the members of this man's family, so there were many marriages that came apart, ultimately again, because of this new genealogical revelation. We'll say, now this is amazing. Ki nafik, so now we'll say, as Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel is leaving Beis Din, nafki basrai lemirgame. We'll say, this is wild. The townspeople surrounded him and were going to stone him. Why, Abosai? Because you can understand, he's just ruined a lot of families. So they're literally ready to stone him. They're ready to stone him. So says the Gemara, so Amar Lahu, so he said to them, listen, here's the deal. Ishtiku, shtiku. If you want to go home and be quiet, then go home and be quiet. Ve'ilo, and if you're going to start up with me, Maglina Aleichu Hada Amar Shmuel. I have the ability to reveal some more damaging genealogical information. Which Shmuel said, Tarti Zaraisa Ika Benarda. There are two major family lines in Narda. Chada Mikre de Beyona. One are called the home of Yonah, the family of Yonah. The Chada Mikre de Bey Orvasi. And the other is called the Raven family. The Simanach, Tame Tame, Tar Tar. Rabosai, those known as the Yonah family, just like the Yonah is a kosher bird, they are a kosher family. The other known as the Raven family, which is an unkosher bird, are non-kosher family. In other words, it will say that they are genealogically unfit. Oh, so it will say, so remember, Rabbi Hud is saying, would you like me to divulge the identities? Right, meaning, so you think you've got problems now. And it will say, I want to be clear on something, which is the following. There is a concept in halacha of mishpacha shenitmu'u nitmu'u. This, we'll see this in Avodah Zarah, that the concept ultimately, again, nitmu not with an aleph, but nitmu with an ayin. There's a concept that sometimes when it comes to matters of genealogy, we let things be. Meaning, we don't necessarily investigate too much. So therefore, same thing with this guy. With this guy, ultimately, again, who now turned out to be an Eved. So as I said, the idea over here is, now, there are applications of this, because obviously, if you know that something is wrong, you have to investigate it. But in general, one need not be choshesh for zeros 10 generations ago, or different things like that. So the idea over here is that, remember, this whole thing only comes out because this individual started up and was abusive to the shaliach, ultimately, of Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel. Yecheskel. So the Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel says, look, there's a lot more information to be uncovered. We'll leave everything alone. We'll leave everything alone right now. But if you want me to, if you're going to start up with me, I'll reveal this additional information as well. So we'll say, so what happened? So how does the story end? So Shaju Allahu Rigma Miyadayu. So we'll say the people decided to put down their stones. They come Atama Benar Malka. Well, so just you understand how many people were there and how many stones there were there. People threw their stones into the Malka River, and it dammed up the river. That's how many stones people were ready to throw at Rabbi Yehuda bar Yecheskel. So Machir is Rabbi Yehuda Pompadisa. So Moshe Gemara tells other Meisim now about other genealogically unfit families. So Machir is Rabbi Yehuda Pompadisa. Rabbi Yehuda announced in Pompadisa the following. Ada v'Yonasan Avdi. The families of Ada and Yonasan are slaves. Yehuda bar Papa Mamzer, Yehuda bar Papa's Mamzer, because we'll say again, obviously this genealogical information must be known to the masses. As much as we said before, bless you, Mishpachu Shitu Nitmu, it means you don't necessarily have to go digging around for information, but information is known, you have to share it with the public. So, Bati bar Tuvia, Beramos Rucha, Lo Shakal Kita de Jerusa. And Bati bar Tuvia is a slave because he was too arrogant to accept a document of emancipation. Machriz Rava b'Mechuza. Rava used to announce in Mechuza, Beloi, Dinoi, Taloi, Meloi, Zagoi, Kulam l'psul. We'll say all of these families are genealogically unfit. Amar Rav Yehuda, Govoi, give Uni, Dur Nunisa. So we'll say all of these places, Govai, Givoni, Dur Nunisa. Dur Nunisa, we'll say, is Doroi Nisinoi. It's a contraction. It's a place where Nisinim live. Amar Rav Yosef, Hai Beikuvi de Pompadisa. This city of Beikuvi and Pompadisa, Kulam de Avdi. They're all Avadim, right? It's a city of slaves. Amar Rav Yudam Shmuel, Arba Meos Avadim, Varmili Arba, Arbaos Alatim Avadim, Hayu lo lePashchor ben Emar. So we'll say Pashchor ben Emar. We'll say Pashchor ben Emar was actually one of the Kohanim Gedolim. So Pashchor ben Emar had 400 servants, 400 slaves. Avadim Kinanim. Others say it was 4,000. And what happened? Abosai the kulam nitmu beguna. This is amazing. All of them, Abosai. So over time, all of them posed as Kohanim and married into Kohanic families. We'll say, so major, major genealogical issue. So how do you know about, how do you know who is a member of the Pashchor family? It's not really Pashchor family. How do you know about who are those former Avodim of Pashchor? Listen to this. The Chol Koin Sheyesh Bo Azos Panim Eino Ela Mehem. And we'll say, any coin who is exceptionally arrogant is probably a descendant from one of Pashchor's slaves. Says the, I will say, first of all, it's just amazing to see, you see this theme throughout the Gemara, how the Gemara understands bad midos to be reflective of genealogical flaws. This is incredible, the Gemara talks about this. Anger, cynicism, all of these negative midos, arrogance, all these negative midos, Rabosai, are supposed to, are reflective, ultimately there's something fundamentally wrong in the DNA of the individual. So if you find any Cohen who's a real Azaz Panim, really brazen, he's probably from Pashkor, Pashkor's slaves. Amar Abaye. Amar Abaye. Kulan Yasvan Bashura de Ben Arda. So we'll say, so Abaye says, by the way, these people, these slaves of Pashkor are so integrated that literally, again, they sit in a row in the shul in Arda. In other words, that they've really become integrated into the community. But this argues in Rabbi Lazar, because we're Rabbi Lazar, I'm Rabbi Lazar, Imra Isa Kohen Ba'azos Meitzach, Al Tahara Acharav. So what Rabbi Lazar says, if you see a Kohen who is very brazen, Don't doubt his lineage. Don't doubt his genealogy. In other words, he's still a bona fide Kohen. Why? Shenemar. Because over here, Gedimar quotes the Pasuk from Hosea. The Pasuk says, Va'amcha kimirive Kohen. Your nation are like quarrelsome Kohanim. We'll say, now we've seen this already before. Kohanim have short fuses, right? We saw this in Gittin. That's why Chazal had to institute a different get for Kohanim. That would take a little bit more time in order to allow them to decompress a little bit. So the idea over here is now Rabbi Lazar is saying that no, if you see a Kohen with a short fuse or a Kohen with a little bit of arrogance, we'll say that's not a sign of his genealogical imperfection. That just might be part of the Quran. We'll say, which again, you understand that brazenness and arrogance and short, often these negative midos are the other side of the coin of passion. Whenever you see someone ultimately who behaves in a very passionate way, that passion ultimately can be directed in a positive way or in a negative way. So the Gemara is just saying is, when you see that there's passion there, if the Kohen uses the passion in the wrong way, it doesn't mean it's a genealogical psul, it just means that he has to get his midos act together. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Avin Bar Avda, Amar Rav Kolonos Ishin Hogeneslo, and he goes back to the end of unfit marriages. Anyone who marries a woman who is not fit for him, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and rests his Shechina, he will attest to the greatness of the Shvatim, but he will not attest to the greatness of this individual. Shneemar Shifteka Eidos LiYisrael. Ultimately, again, Shifteka, the tribes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eidos LiYisrael, be a testament to Klal Yisrael. Im Masai Habe Eidos LiYisrael. When does God give Eidos for Klal Yisrael? Bizman Shashvatim Shifteka. Only when the Shvatim, the tribes, are truly the tribes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shechina, he only rests his Shechina upon families that are genealogically fit. So in that time, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will be a God for all the mishpachos, for all the families of Klal Yisrael. So says the Gemara, L'chol Yisrael lo ne'emar. It doesn't say for all of Klal Yisrael, rather what? But rather, again, it only says for those units that are mishpachos, for those units ultimately that are genealogically fit, ultimately, again, they will be to me a nation. So we'll say, you understand over here, just to appreciate this, the reason why Chazal and the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is placing so much emphasis on this yichos is why? Because this is what represents the continuity of the Jewish people. We'll say, you have to understand, this, by the way, is something, this very discussion unfolds to this very day. We'll say, you know, one of the most contentious topics in the modern day state of Israel is Geirus. Is conversion. So the reason why conversion is such a strong topic is because how you rule on these issues has a dramatic, long-lasting effect on the yichus of Klal Yisrael. If Klal Yisrael doesn't have proper yichus, then we lose our national cohesion. Then there's no longer an am. So all of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I'm only going to put my Shechina ultimately again on Mishpachos Miyuchasos. I'm only going to put my Shechina ultimately again where a person marries a Isha Haguna. We'll say, this is not an elitist attitude. This is necessary for the continuity of our klal. Unfortunately, sometimes our sensitivities are eroded about this. A lot of these things become politicized. But at the end of the day, maintaining the taras ha-mishpacha, I don't mean in a hilchos nida sense, I mean in a yichos sense of klal Yisrael, is absolutely paramount for the continuity of our people. But I'll say we'll stop over here for today. I'm going to share with you a short idea on the parasha.